This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
the bridge of the song just says that you'll never let me down, you'll never let me down, you'll never let me go. And I just sense in my heart that I need to ask the Lord this morning again for forgiveness. For me letting him down in who I am and what I do. So just in your own words, maybe just give what you've not lived up into full potential this week. Things that you should have done, things that you should have done differently maybe. Let us just bring that back to the Lord and lay it at his feet this morning. I want us all to make that declaration again that Lord Jesus, you are the King of my heart. So just say that to him. Lord, you are the King of my heart. You are the King of my heart. Just take a moment of introspection, moment of speaking to your own heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart this morning. I don't want us to miss this opportunity. Lord, thank you that this morning is not about us, Lord God, but it's really about you. Lord, we come and ask for forgiveness, that where we sing songs of Christ be magnified, King of my heart. You have won me, Lord God. But this morning, Lord, we don't want to just sing it, but we want to declare it, Lord. We want to declare it because you are the King of our hearts. You need to be magnified in our lives, Lord God. Let's just extend our hands and say, Holy Spirit, we receive you this morning. We receive you this morning. So come and do a new work in me. Come and do a new work in us, Lord. Come and stir the comforts, Lord God, into that place of uncomfortable. Not for myself, but for you, Lord. Come and stir the excitement, Lord God, of a Zacchaeus in our hearts. Because, Lord, you have a dinner date with us, Lord Jesus, this morning. You have a breakfast date with us this morning. And through your Spirit, Lord, you want to serve us. You want to minister to us this morning. So I pray, Lord, that excitement in our hearts will just start bubbling out, Lord Jesus, as a fountain coming to life. We receive you, Lord, this morning. Just while we keep the band going, I just want Hetty to come to the front. She's got a testimony about some things that happened during this week.
Morning, family. Morning, church. So I just want to share a short testimony of what happened this past weekend. So I went to visit my father and grandmother on the farm last weekend. Bertie wasn't with, he had something else on. And Saturday morning, two fires broke out in the Witvlei area and in the Nina area, which basically means it's two areas next to each other, so the farmers were divided between the fires. And so we started Saturday, we started with groups of farmers and people helping. And yeah, it was a lot of hard work. It took the whole day. I think that evening we went to bed 4:30 that night. And yes, so the next morning we woke up for the fires where we, some places it stopped, but it kind of just took again on certain places. And so we realized the fires was more or less a camp and a half away from my sister's farm. And we drove there. And a lot of people were tired, so everybody didn't come that morning. And I think a lot of people felt the fires are fairly under control. But it was so wide that everybody was spread throughout. So we were basically one car with a firefighter and another car with like three people helping with shovels and the driver. So, and we had an area of about, so we were basically patrolling the fence. It was probably 3-4 kilometers long, and with the two cars, and the fires was coming our way. So it was a camp and a half away from my sister's farm. So basically our aim was just to stop it as soon as possible so that it doesn't come over the fence. And yeah, so it was just big flames and scary. And we tried to stop it, but it just came closer to the fence. And we realized, well, it's going to cross the fence now, and we need to stop it there. And we were only the two cars. Nobody came to help that whole day. And yeah, so at some stage, we just saw it come. It came, and like 2-3 places at once, it crossed the fence. And so the car with the firefighter was on this side, and then 2-3 kilometers on the other side, the fires also started coming over the fence. So basically a firefighter is just a big tank at the back of a bucky with a hose pipe connected to it. And yeah, so we just tried to stop all the fires, but it was kind of like running fast over the fence. And somewhere or another, we just got that done. And I got to a stage where I kind of like, my hands was just tired. I couldn't like handle the hose pipe anymore. I just got so frustrated, and I just said loudly, in the name of Jesus, farmers, come now. And I kind of like looked, we were against the main road at that time, and I kind of looked over the hill, and I was like, the farmers is going to come over that hill now. They're going to come and help now. And yeah, in that moment, I just kind of heard the Lord said, even if they don't come, I'm here with you. And I then just started praying, like I was alone at the back of the bucky by that time. And I just said, okay, well, in the name of Jesus, send your angel armies to come and help fight with us. Yeah, so we kind of, where we stopped the fight kind of took again. So we went and stopped it again. And we would, when it stopped, we knew we had to get back to where the other bucky was that didn't even have a firefighter, because the fire was coming that whole 3-4 kilometers wide. And we got there, and as we drove, we just we saw the fence, and we just saw, you know, when you know there was fires and it was just kind of dead. So we were driving, and we just saw the fire stopped here and here and here as we were driving, probably 500-600 meters. And they didn't have a firefighter. They were like three people with shovels. That's it. And when we got to them, we were all just looking at each other, and we couldn't believe, like, how did they stop it? Like, and we just all kind of got quiet and said, "You, we had extra help." And yeah, so some way or another, at the end of the day, we got that fire stopped at that fence. And later that day, people came to help. I think at the moment when you just couldn't take it anymore. Yeah, so all I want to say is, when you're in that place when there's nobody else to help you, God is there. Yeah, and He may not come through in the ways you want Him to, but He's there, and He will fight for you if you call upon His name.
These situations remain a reality in our face. I was speaking to was speaking to a guy on Friday morning. I met him downstairs, and as he got out of his vehicle, he had bandages on right up to his shoulders. And in the same light, his whole face was full of plaster and covered. And I just said to him, "And what war did you end up this morning?" And he said, "No, they were also busy fighting fires, and his car got stuck on a tree log. And as he was trying to stop the fire, it just came and it hit him, actually. And as he was trying to cover for the car and trying to fight the fire, there was just at that point nothing else he could do. And it was also, again, too late, because sometimes you fight in your own capacity slightly further to that point of trying to rescue, trying to get it done, and many times in our own ability. And I really just appreciate what Hetty shared this morning. You know what? There's a point and a place where we can ask. It might not come according to our will, and at that moment, as we wanted, our ambitions, our intention. But God is faithful. God is faithful. So, Ben, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Let's just switch on some lights. Right. I feel slightly emotional this morning, so I'm going to try my best to present to you the third part. I just really feel that, you know, this morning it's God needs to come through and just speak to each one of you, because me, I'm not worthy. God is just so great, so powerful, and it feels in so many ways that we let Him down. I think I want to start with that this morning and saying that over the past two weeks, we've tried to give you a key and tools that's in your own toolbox that you can bring to the table and say, "This is my gift that God has given to me, and this is how I'm going to use it." But if the person sitting next to you do not know or do not receive something from that gift, you are robbing them. And it's unfair towards them. Because in our church, we see that, and it's the first slide, Hetty, we can go to that, where the gears are. If any one of these doesn't work together, we do not, the gears aren't working together. The car won't move forward, and we will be stuck at one point. And often we come to that point where we get stuck and we need to ask the questions why. And we need to realize that the only way it can function together is if we as the body of Christ draw together. And we become mended together. We flow together. So over the past 3 weeks, 2 weeks, we've handed out a small form and a booklet with all the gifts, the motivational gifts of the Father. It's called The Unique Me, Who God Intended Me to Be. And if we look at Ephesians, we just see that Ephesians is the fivefold ministry that allows us, or that allows the position of that ministry to equip the saints. So there we have the teacher, the pastor, the apostle, the evangelist, and the prophet. And in all of those, in Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 14, we will see that these gifts are there not to fulfill all of them, but to, again, in leadership ability, in an office, in a ministry of the office ministry, to bring them together to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And these leadership gifts, we call them the gifts of the Son. And we need to understand that Jesus was the only person on this earth that has the ability to fulfill and be in the fullness of all of them together. He was the perfect pastor, the perfect apostle, the perfect evangelist, the perfect teacher, and the perfect prophet. And in all of them, he was the one that gives that gift to us through him being the Son of God. So we need to shift that focus about what I can receive in church the whole time back to the place, or reverse that into what can I contribute? How do I contribute to help the body of Christ become the fullness? And it says, to mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until we all attain to the unity. Because that maturity, that fullness, comes to that place of bringing unity and faith together. And where Paul is a teacher, Reinald can be an apostle or a prophet, I'm a bit more of an evangelist. We've got pastors. I know Jock here will fit in that description more of a pastor role. We've got Mike as a bit of a pastoral heart, you know, caring for the people, equipping them to care for one another. And that's how the fullness works together. Because as the office, as an employed person of Shofar, I cannot fulfill all of them. It's not my responsibility. I will try my utmost best, but I tell you now, I'm going to fail. Because it's too much of a burden, in a sense, to try and fulfill all five of those gifts. So, I don't want to focus on that this morning. I want us to go to Romans 12, verse 3 to 8. I just want us to recap quickly. So, right in the beginning, we've handed out a A4 paper with a whole bunch of key descriptions that you need to circle the 10 most important of those wordings of those phrases that best describe you. Only 10. It's the most difficult thing to do, because you sit there and you say, okay, but I'm part of this. But that will just help you. Those are key character traits. Those are traits of each specific gift of the motivational gifts that we call the gifts of the Father. And through them, you sort of discover what God has given you as main gift. You will discover, but I've got a bit more. I've got two or three gifts that plays a role together. But one will be stronger than the other one, and that's where we need to focus. So let's quickly read Romans 12, verse 3 to 8. I'm going to run and try and be finished by 10:30 this morning. So, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Let's just stop there for 1 second. God assigns. He has given it to you, a measure of faith. And here's a key. You can ask for more. Something small. You can ask for more. Because God deals this measure of faith. He gives it to you. But if we want to excel, shouldn't we ask for more? If we do not function properly in that area, shouldn't we ask for more to do it better? All right, so just keep that in mind. Verse 4, for as one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. So he didn't say that according to the grace given to us, full stop. He said according to the grace given to us, let us use them. So let's just repeat that part there where it says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And everyone say, let us use them. I think there's a lot of people that needs to be here this morning that needs to hear that. But as the body of Christ, we cannot function if we do not use them. It's like saying, I've got the firefighting truck in my garage, but if I'm called to go and help, or this is the purpose of this truck, but I don't use it. It's just saying, yes, we've been given it by grace, and then we stop there. Let us use it. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, and the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So, as I said, you will be stronger in one or more of the other. Let's just quickly see who did not receive the booklet. Can we just quickly, one or two people, just hand out the booklet? We've got three, am I right, four booklets. Just raise your hand and let us just give you the booklets, then you can follow. The nice thing about the booklet, it covers the full Romans 12, all seven gifts. It gives you the behavioral characteristic, the traits, the immature characteristics, and it leaves you place for notes, as well as some tips on how to go about counteracting on the immature characteristics. So, over the past 2 weeks, we've spoken about, if we just go to the next slide, we've spoken about prophecy. The gift of prophecy, the gift of leadership, mercy, teaching, and giving. And this morning we will just quickly run through ministry and serving and exhortation. The next slide says the following. So we'll just, one more. Thank you. The prophet, and just a quick recap, is to challenge others by declaring God's truth and calling for action. He's the black and white guy, the straightforward, there's only one way to get to Jesus, and this is it. All right, he will be insensitive. He will be the guy who will challenge you. And he needs the mercy gift, the mercy ministry, in order to balance this out. And a good, perfect example is two good friends of ours, Paul and Saskia. You will see that we've got the prophet and the mercy person. And they need to work together in order to make it work. You know, otherwise, the pendulum would just swing to the one side or to the other side. And so it is with who we are in Christ. We cannot just surround ourselves because I'm a prophet or a ruler. I just want to surround myself with ruling or prophet people because then I feel best about myself. Because they will tell me things as they are. Somewhere along the line, I will not be challenged. Wil jy ek moet hom afsit en oor gaan die ander toe? Okay, good. Okay, so so the prophet, he needs a mercy. Then the next one says the ruler. John Maxwell's gifts of leadership says to govern and oversee others that the group moves forward. This type of person, the ruler, will be focused on the Great Commission and slightly lose track of the Great Commandment. What does the Great Commandment say? Love every person. Okay? The Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. So we need to find the balance, and a mercy person needs to work with us, with the ruler as well. But rulers are diligent. They will get the task and the job at hand done. They will be the person that will get the crowd together and say, this is what you do, this is what you do, and we get to the end of the line. Right? So a ruler, a good person, you see why we need them. Next one is the mercy person, to empathize with, cheer on, and show compassion to those who hurt. You will see the mercy person crying a lot. You will see them being passionate about worship. You will see that if you make fun of someone in their vicinity, that they will take you out like a sniper. All right? The mercy person is a very sensitive soul, but they can be oversensitive, and hence why they need the prophet, why they need the ruler to keep them on the task at hand, to get them to move forward. Otherwise, they will just remain here at the back. Right, then we get the giver to generously share what God has given. A good example of a person who's a giver is one who can... I've also always thought, you know, this is just a person that loves to give out of his pocket. Yes, he's generously, he shares what God's given, but he also takes and multiplies. So he's a person that will work well with in terms of running projects and getting that project from the minimum that we have, he will get the maximum out. All right, so the giver, he sort of flows in with all the other gifts that we have. He needs all of them and they need all of him. Right, then we go on to the next one, the teacher, to explain truth so that others can understand and apply it. The teacher will always say to me, show me that in the Bible. Interesting enough, I spoke to somebody the other day. He said that a person that was a famous personality turned Christian is now in the ministry, and he keeps retweeting certain stuff of a pastor that he's serving under. And this friend of mine says, but he questions the validity of these tweets because they are not scriptural always. And that's a typical teacher, word-based, scriptural-based. But the teacher needs the servant and the mercy person in order to bring them more in touch and in feel with the Holy Spirit. Right, so that's why the teacher will just be word-based. So understand why we need one another. Next one is the exhorter, and this is where we're going to start from this morning. I'm not sure on which page in your booklet, but you can follow me. So the exhorter, says John Maxwell writes, is to encourage, strengthen, and inspire others to be their best. So on your page that you received, you would have picked a few things, and if it falls in line with the character traits or the traits that we're going to read next, in a sense, it will make you an exhorter. And here we go. So if you like to make people feel good, if you encourage people, if you stir faith in others, you like bigger crowds, it's more fun, I'm a likable person, connect easily with new people, good at mobilizing people, loves an interactive response, good people skills, likes to be part of the show, then you will most likely be very strong, a strong exhorter. If we look at the behavioral characteristics of an exhorter, that says it shows God's extravagance, the sun, the moon, and the stars. This guy will take you to the place of seeing it. It was so beautiful, and I believe maybe it's a prophecy or a word. Last night, I got home around about 8 o'clock, and I jumped in a swimming pool. And as I was just sort of doing the starfish move that we teach our daughter now to remain upright and not face down in the swimming pool. So as I was lying there, the moon was directly on top of me, and there was this huge halo around it. I don't know if any one of you saw it around about 8:30 last night. It was beautiful. And Melise went to go read up on it because I said to her, listen, switch off all the lights and just come and check it out. It was just so amazing. And in that moment, the whole family could enjoy it and see it. And why am I telling you this? Because that is sort of what the exhorter will bring out in your life. You will see the moon in many, many aspects. But he will come and he will tell you, listen, look at it around. Look at what's going on around it. It's not just it. But what does that halo mean? My wife went to read up on it. It means there's good rain coming at some point. So praise the Lord. We trust God for that the rains will come because we saw that. That's how God designed it. So this guy will be showing God's extravagance. He will show it in your life. He will show it for you as a person. He will uplift you in every way that he can. Horizontal focus, no stranger, cracks the code to people, can get into their heart. So he will check you out like this, and he will cut you so that he can get to that place of lifting you up. No relational barriers can cross economic, racial, religious lines and build relationships. Unparalleled anointing for evangelism. Master communicator, extremely flexible, can adjust their plans, not intimidated by new ideas or new concepts, can reconcile groups of people in cities because of their tactfulness and sensitivity to people's feelings. This is a people's person. An exhorter is a people's person. Always good word, always have a good word for you. And this is usually a giveaway. When Ed walks into the room and it, you know, the lights is off, he will tell you, listen, you are a shining star. Okay? Nobody else will see it, but the exhorter will see it. This is a dead giveaway. All right, usually come up with a 3 or 4 step plan to help you solve your last dilemma. So if you've, specifically in preachers, if you find a guy that likes to pinpoint, put the 3 or 4 steps to the next phase, that would be a typical exhorter. This is usually a giveaway. If you talk to an exhorter and after a while you will realize that you are doing all the talking, they will typically ask you how the family is doing and how the children are doing, and they manage to make conversation about you. Not about us, it's about you. If you share with them what your latest problem or dilemma is, they will give you a very practical 4-step plan to solve your solution or solve your plan. So in many ways, this is one of my stronger gifts, being an exhorter. And let's look at the immature characteristics of an exhorter. Passive leadership style, okay? In a small group context, the exhorter would say to the group that they want to have an outreach, and then someone would say that they already have too much to do and they don't have time for it. The leader would then go with the consensus of the group rather than to give strong leadership regarding what they feel God is leading the group in. So it's basically just getting the job done, moving into that place, getting everybody excited. But sometimes we do it so passively, we forget about the personal aspect of the typical exhort in the Bible is Aaron. When the Israelites wanted to have something to pray to, he was a leader who said yes to what the people wanted. Many a times this is something an exhorter really needs to look out for, because the exhorter needs to be careful to see that they do not follow the people, but that they actually hear from God and ask him what he wants to do. Doesn't like to be alone, prefers many people around him, governed by relationships and by persuasion and not by principle. And he needs the teacher gifting here. Taking time to counsel others, that I can testify to. I love spending time in counseling with people. You know, when it's normally we just have an hour, we do it in 3 hours, because that's just who we are. We want people to talk about themselves, and we want all the detail in that. So exhorters can misuse their gift in raising others' expectations prematurely. Taking time, treating family and friends as projects rather than as people. Exhorters will not always like other exhorters because they see them as competition. True, ne? They like to receive attention. Very bit of a selfish gift here, if you don't watch out. Mobilizes people to participate in activities and plans rather than mobilizing them around the purposes of God. Okay, so it's about the activity, about the coming together, the excitedness about it. Sharing private illustrations without permission. Oh, be careful about that, eh? Jumping into new projects without finishing the existing ones. Encouraging others to depend on them and not on God. Uses influence to achieve their personal agenda and goals. Disconnects from painful relationships. Has superficial, sometimes self-serving relationships. Can mobilize and gather people, but has nothing to deposit. Exhorters are usually have a following, but they struggle to give that deeper input into these people's lives. They avoid conflict that discipleship would bring because they value the relationship and they enjoy being around people. So one thing to look out for, enjoy visible results rather than true change of heart. neglecting proper emphasis on basic biblical doctrines, giving counsel before discerning the type of person or the problem, unwilling to confront sin in the camp to keep them from experiencing rejection. They don't like rejection. Exhorters love the limelight, so they would not want to do anything that will have them experience rejection. They are very sensitive to rejection. And look at it in leadership. Look at it in the world. We have a few exhorters in life that we can easily trace in our own circle of sphere and influence. And that's the important thing. Everybody in the world has this particular gift. But the redemption of this gift only comes to light, only the fullness of this gift only comes when you become a born-again Christian. When you come into Christ, then only this gift comes to its full potential because it's used for the kingdom. These gifts are reserved for the kingdom, even though every single person has received it. So I want to give you a small bit of advice, or maybe encourage you with something. If there's someone in your office that you can see has this potential, start praying for them for a bigger measure of faith in their lives. That God will assign a bigger portion of faith, that they will come into the light, come onto the repenting, and come back and use that gift for the God, for the body of Christ. All right, spend more time with people than with God. So how do we, a few tips that you can have a look at when you are, if you're an exhorter, just to maybe test yourself and governed by relationship and persuasion and not by principle. The serving gift needs the teacher to grow on this. The servant gifting. So you need to ensure that you have a bit of a teacher in your life, someone with a teacher gifting, in order to guide you and help you to deal with it. And that's why discipleship for an exhorter is such a good thing. All right, so keep that in mind. Confront sin in due season. You can't just see the sin and not do anything about it. So you have to be vigilant. In a time where we are now, we've been isolated for a very long time, and since lockdown, I think a lot of us has grown comfortable with the things that we do and we have in life. And I think as exhorters, we will run around that in circles to avoid tackling the issues of chains. Need to take ownership of decisions. Net 20. Ownership of that decision there. I love what Paul said to me on Friday night. He says, very often we make a decision in life, but we don't take ownership for it. And then we come to this place afterwards where we realize that we've been in this situation now, and it's taking up our time, or it's just taking away something from us. And in that, God reminds us that, listen, when you were on this side, you made that decision, and you need to take ownership of that. And this is a responsibilities and what's going to happen in your life. So if you made the decision, you need to take ownership for it. And not just go back and be the complainant all the time because of what you had before. Because if you were in that place, you were a lone person for a long time, and you desired a family, you desired that close relationships, and you decide to go into that, that's a decision that you make, and you need to take ownership for that, especially with exhorters as well, especially with God as well. Take ownership for your decisions. Because in many cases, God will come and He will do a new work, but it will not be something that will be comfortable for you. It will be something that will challenge you, that will take you out of your comfort zone. And you need to take that ownership and move with that, because you need to understand that at the end, there's a bigger picture. It's not about you. Let's just look at the examples in Scripture. Aaron, Samson, Jeremiah, and Peter. Right, let's go on to the next one. It's called the servant. The servant, according to James Maxwell, is to serve others and meet their needs. The Greek word diakonia, to run errands and attend, a waiter. So specifically in a Christian, a teacher and a pastor, very much in the fivefold ministry, will be more the servant, because they will serve a deacon or a deaconess. Minister, the serving gift always works well with the ruler gifting. These two gifting needs to work together. All right, so if you are a servant, get a ruler in your life, and we will see why. So let's look at the traits of a servant. This is what you circle on your page. In the booklet, there's also a page there which you can go through on your own time. But if the following spoke to you, commitment equals serving, enjoys meeting practical needs, always want to help, enjoy manual projects, loyal, not focused on own needs, eager to offer help, likes cleaning up, hospitable, behind-the-scenes person. So you will always be the one packing out the cups, taking out whatever is needed, making sure the chairs are arranged. You will be first in church, almost last out, because this is your heart. This is who you are. So this is also, again, one of my strong trades, one that I sometimes do. You'll see in the immaturity parts, I'll do to the neglect of my own family very much. And it's something that I need to continuously grow in. But as when I came to Christ, when I first really met the Lord Jesus in 2015, this was all that I wanted to do. I just wanted to serve the people in church. So I threw myself into every single ministry that there was that was related to the working on the physical needs or serving the physical needs of people. Okay, so let's look at the behavioral characteristics. Concerned about the comforts of others, strong in obedience, few enemies, extends honor to others. The ruler does not always affirm others, where the servant wants to affirm others. Servants wants to bring comfort to others, then the ruler wants to get the job done before the due date. Nay. Then this shows that these giftings are a good combination because it just brings a good balance in them. Servants are loyal. They fierce anger when close friends or family are hurt. Very much like the mercy ministry. Very sentimental, saves and keeps up. Keep stuff, works very hard, have absolutely no desire to make a name for themselves or to build their own kingdom. They have no selfish ambitions. And the ruler will use a project and take recognition for it, but the servant not. So they need each other in a sense to expose their intentions so that they can do what's necessary in a specific situation. Servants are adaptable and they go with the flow. The ruler doesn't go with the flow. You know, when he's got his mindset on something, that's what he runs with. Not looking for reward, sacrificial in serving. Don't like conflict. Wants to make peace and remembers details. A person will remember how you drink your coffee. And I never realized this. I used to work in Loftus Fashveld for 7 years as a bar waiter, managing one of the suits there. So every Friday night or Saturday, we would have about 60 plus people week in and week out. And my sole responsibility was to make sure that there was enough drinks for everyone, the food was on the table. But I tell you, after the first week, the familiar faces that came back, after they walked into the door, the moment that they approached the bar counter, I already had their drink ready for them. Because it's just one of my strong traits. And I continue doing it. So it's something that you take note of, but it's so valuable in a kingdom because it makes it, it's something that we sometimes do that will make that person feel just so lifted up. All right. So just keep it in mind. They will remember all the meticulous detail. So let's look at the immature characteristics because this is always important that we need to grow into these. Comes across as being busy and they can't say no easily to people. All right, not good with personal boundaries, attracts dishonor, can be instructive if not checked, or intrusive if not checked, over-apologizes. I love apologizing, you know, and I just love that. So over-apologize. Servants are observant enough to know when you need a cup of coffee, and they will remember that you like your milk warm or cold, and yet they still apologize that the milk is not in the right temperature. Okay, this is just who we are. We love doing it. Neglecting home responsibilities in order to help others. In my ministry, just quick, when I was asked by, when I received my first scripture of saying full-time ministry. I neglected my business that we were operating, and that was our income, that was our livelihood. I neglected that in such a way that we always almost didn't make it up to this point. We almost didn't make it here because I was just so invested into becoming a minister or a pastor, because this I was called for full-time ministry, that I've neglected what God has entrusted to me to do faithfully. I neglected my family because it was all about the ministry. Yes, that is good, but God doesn't work like that. You know, he gave us those responsibilities in order for us to go with it. So be careful neglecting home responsibilities in order to help others. This is all I wanted to do. Accepting too many jobs at the time because I cannot say no. They're wearing themselves out physically. And this happens. Servants are wonderful on one-day jobs and short-term goals, but it can be sidetracked by immediate needs when working on a long-term project. Definitely me. So I need to work on that, you know. Uses religious activity and service to please God, and they are performance orientated, being too persistent in giving unrequested help to others. You know, they will just, my wife always says, I don't make impressions, I just press in. This is my good character in life. But so often we press in the wrong situation at the wrong time. That can lead to offense to people. So that immatureness we need to work on. Going around proper authorities in order to get the job done, because it's about the job. Excluding others from helping on the job. I have this philosophy. I ask you once, and if you don't answer me or say something, then or come up with an excuse, I'll go do it myself. You know, so that immature, I'm working on it. Poor self-image, does not think that they matter as a person, enables poor character and dysfunctional behavior in others instead of empowering them to change. Passes the work of spiritual warfare to others who think they are more qualified. Because they just want to do the physical work. Again, the passiveness coming through here. Interfering with God's discipline by giving premature help. Very often a servant will do the work for somebody else that God actually wants that person to go through and work. Very much in when there's trouble in people's lives financially or so, in order for that person to work through this, through that process of discipline, somebody else will step in and just make it more comfortable. So in the end, that person won't realize that what they've gone through, and they will just continue on the same path. So we need to be careful of that. Being hurt because of ungratefulness of those they help, and getting sidetracked when working on an assignment. Again, the short-term goals and the long-term goals. Right, so tips, ask if someone wants to help. Right, servants, you can ask. People will say yes. Learn what the priorities and situations are, and then say no when it's not a priority. All right, very important. Need strong leaders. Don't overcommit. Rather do fewer things well than too many things poorly. Good examples in Scripture is Abraham, Martha, Esther, and Timothy. So three questions this morning. We've gone through all the gifts, and this is where I want to stand still, because we can do the teaching this morning and this over the past 3 weeks. But what is the outcome? What do we want to get out of this? Our outcome is to say that now that you have discovered, now that you know, what is it that you are going to do? What is it that God is saying to you? Where? And then the next question is, say, but yes, JP, if you say that, if you've taught me now that I'm a teacher or a prophet or I am an exhorter, where do I serve in church? Because this is why we are doing it. We said that right in the beginning, we are building God's church at the moment. We are rebuilding based on the book of Haggai, where God says that my house lies in ruins, but yours are built up in these palaces. So what are we going to do? And here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask the first three questions and say, which giftings do you have? Did you identify it, firstly? Secondly, what are your strong points? Did I put the third one on there? Yes. What are the things that you need to give back to God and trust the Holy Spirit to do a work in you regarding it? So this is homework. This is actually saying, I need to go back to the drawing board and say, Lord, I thought I was this person. Oh, yes, I've discovered this as a person, but here's my immaturities. How do I deal with it? How do I get it solved? Or how do I work on it to grow as a stronger person? Firstly, God says that he's dealt a portion or a measure of faith to each one of us. What do we go back to do? Is we say, Lord, I'm going to trust you and the Holy Spirit to guide me through this. So give me a bigger portion of faith to believe that you can do it. It starts with each one of us and our own personal capacity. And then we go on to the next one where we say, all right, so how does a puzzle piece together? This is how the puzzle piece together. There's the next slide that's got a big, let's just stop there. You cannot expect one person to do everything. Or think because there is a person already in that position that you are not needed. It's important that you go and contribute. That you go and give or use your gift, because the word is clear. Let us use them. Then the next slide will take us to the character traits gift. So there we have all the gifts. It's a prophet, ruler, mercy, servant, exhorter, teacher, giver. Character traits says discernment, fearless, direct, goal-driven for the ruler, implementer's direction. The character for the mercy, compassionate, heart of the poor, intimacy, servant, help with practical needs, loyal, one-day jobs, exhorter, mobilizer, good communicators, big crowds, teacher, detailed routine, researcher, giver is entrepreneurial, gives anonymously, and growth. Look at that last word. It says growth. Okay, so the prophet is the most visionary. The ruler is the most systematic. The mercy is the most intimate, most selfless for the servant. Exhorter, the most relational. Teacher is the most particular. And the giver, the most innovative person. Do you realize the gifts we have in church? Do you realize and do you understand how amazingly God made each one of us? Wow! Paul, Noah, Abraham, Martha, Aaron, Moses, Jacob. Those are the biblical characters that we can read through. So if you are in any one of these gifts, if you have a stronger prophet, ruler, mercy, servant, exhorter, teacher, giver, then go and study the biblical character. It's important that we know what they went through, because the gifts are very much based on them. God uses them as an example for each one of us to work forward and work out and work to the best of our ability. Okay, so the prophet usually gives a vision. Usually this is the pastor and the leader that provides the vision. Even if he is not a prophet, usually your leader gives a vision. So in my case, I'm the pastor, so I will usually give the vision. The best place to start, if you want to serve this gifting, if you want to live it out, is that intercession. And if you struggle to get up at 4:30 or 5:00 in the morning to be here at 5:30, then phone me, I'll wake you up. I'll drive to your house, I'll come and pick you up. But get here, because that's where it starts. All right. Next, the ruler would be good at taking this vision, breaking it down, and delegating roles to everyone. So very much what happens in intercession in our current situation or structure is we will pray about certain things in intercession. We will receive from Word of God, from God a word saying that, you know, we need to move forward and equipping families. What do? We say, rulers, come on. Help us to get that in place. The best place, get into a small group. If you are not in a small group as yet, you're losing out. But you're also robbing the person next to you, because they can benefit from your gift. Right, the next one. The exhorter is the one who will mobilize people and get volunteers. We need exhorters to mobilize our volunteers, to get them and to help in church. And the best place, volunteer to partner with someone who leads in the ministry. So that's either in hospitality, the
welcoming ministry, church ministry, children's church, the band. Volunteer to work alongside them so that you can learn from them. But this person, if he's a teacher, he can use you to mobilize the people and get them excited, because that is what is needed in order to do a full ministry. Right, then we go on to the teacher. Teacher is a great person to help prepare the content. But you cannot prepare the content if there's no foundation in your life. We can read the Bible, but there's much more interpretation about that. Bible school, that's where you start. And if you say to me, yeah, but Bible school has already started, then I'll hold you accountable for next year. There's no excuse. Next, the servants are the people who would help with the practical services. We need people to make a Sunday service work. We need people to make our small groups work. And we have that is to, and we need the servants on that. So the best place to start is to volunteer for any church ministry. So example, we have kids church. We have the media desk. We have hospitality. We have welcoming and ushering. We have the band. How do you, if you're a servant and you want to get things done, then that's your place to start. And then we get to the mercy. We'll be the help best at helping with worship and counseling. So volunteer for the band, volunteer for welcoming, because your heart will already connect with people the moment that they step into the door. Your love, your comfort will make them feel welcome. Counseling, come and speak to me if you are interested. If you're not sure, if you've got this mercy gift, counseling is the best way. Just talking to people, allowing them to relate to you, allowing them to feel your heart, to feel that you can feel their heart, knowing that you care for them. That's where the mercy ministry works best. And then the givers will be involved in the entrepreneurial side. There's always something to revamp in church. So if you get to a place and you're a good, I have Bertie already at the back there. He's our giver in the church. I know that for sure, because he's always got a plan. But if we do this, then this and this will happen. No. Let's just take that and quickly we'll put it on auction. We've got enough money to do this and this. You'll make the books balance. And that's why we need them. So if you are a giver, get in touch with myself or Bertie and ask, what is there that we can do? I'm not talking about the physical. I'm just saying, listen, let's take what we have and make it more exceptional. And I think that's how it all pieces together. So is everybody clear on where to serve? Did you make notes now? Because it will not be in your booklet. The important thing is, we so often stand here or we sit in church and we get to that part where we say, yeah, but you know, I can't do it because I don't know how, or nobody has asked me. I'm asking you this morning that if you are in a place where you have this gifting, but you've never served in any capacity, we need each and every person in the body of Christ to make it work together. And God was clear in his intent when he gave these gifts to say to each one of us that, hey, listen, it's not for yourself. It's for the body and the fullness of Christ. John Piper, I said right in the first sermon, he said, nothing should be more important in our lives than the awakening of our utmost desire for Jesus Christ. You know, Ilana spoke about that excitement when we speak about Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, what does it do in your heart when I say the word Jesus? Remember that story of the Lion King? And I said, when Scar said the word Mufasa, Mufasa. And then the hyenas would go, ooh. What does Jesus do in your life? What does that word Jesus, what does the meaning of Jesus mean for you in your life? Because we can exercise all these gifts. We can do the sermons. We can do all of this. But if it's not for Jesus, if it's not for who we are in him, the unique me, it's nothing. It's just another religious thing or a ritual that we do in life. And you know, Jesus saved my life, and Jesus saved your life. But what are we giving back to him? I want us to move into that place where we're just going to close our eyes and just spend a minute in really trusting the Lord and give him that last question of saying that, you know, Lord, I've received these gifts, but Holy Spirit, God, I need your help so that I know what is the next phase of my life, what to do, where do I need to serve, what is it that you need require from me? And here's the thing, you don't have to just do it alone. There's many people around you that can help you facilitate it. We've got small groups. We've got leadership that stands ready and right at this point, ready to serve you. My heart is that there should be no excuse in life, because Jesus did not have an excuse in his life. He went to that last part in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he sat there with a blood drop of sweat coming from his forehead. He said, "My Father, let this cup pass me if it's your will. But if not, your will be done, your kingdom come." Where are you when it comes to that? Is Jesus just another biblical character for you? Is he just another a person of influence that makes you feel good about yourself? You need to realize he's a Lion of Judah. He's the one that came to save. He's the one that died and bled on the cross so that each one of us can have eternal life. Lord, we are nothing without you this morning. Lord, I want to ask, Holy Spirit, that you come as you continue to stir in our hearts. Convict us, Lord God, of the areas where we need to grow stronger. And Lord, this morning I want to ask for a greater portion of faith in our lives, Lord God, that you will deal that to each one of us, that you will assign a greater portion of faith, Lord, that we will step out boldly because of what you, Jesus, has done in our lives and in our hearts. Lord, for too long we've made it about ourselves. Father, we want to come lay down those ambitions. We want to step out boldly. And we want to serve you, Lord. We want to serve the body of Christ. So I pray, Lord, that you will continue to convict us throughout this week. And Lord, as we step out, Lord God, that we will step out boldly. Without fear of man, Lord God, that we will just sit with the fear of God and saying, "Lord, because I haven't stepped out, Lord God, I'm too afraid." Not because of what the person will feel, but because I've let you down. But Lord, give me the strength and the courage that I may walk and walk worthy for your kingdom.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.